morning, and welcome back to Rosie on the House. You're tuned in to a conversation we're having amongst ourselves between me, my son Romy, and my wife Jennifer about a trip Romy recently took. Just got home night before last from California, where he was at the Heirloom Seed Festival and all the ripple through of ancillary topics that hits. We've already hit food waste. It takes landmass of China to grow all the food we waste in the world.
Mm-hmm. A year.
Is that a distribution problem or is that a personal consumption problem?
Well, it's a lot of different things. I mean, you could, if you went through the food chain, you could make savings towards the food at every step of the way. But as consumers, where most of us have relationship with food, there's a lot of things we can do, starting with just planning. You know, how many times you just stop by the store and you have no clue? And you just grab up a bunch of food.
I like going when I'm hungry.
No, you shouldn't go when you're hungry. You should always check
everything out. Looks good.
I know. And you think, well, I'll buy this because I'll eat it because I like it. But then you're not home. You know, for us to go from six kids to one has been just a huge adjustment. And then to
it
go
seems
from
like we're at the grocery
working,
store every day.
I go a lot more often and try to buy a lot less because we're a lot more flexible in our schedule and stuff. So as far as, you know, eating at home. So I just try to buy. I can't hardly buy less enough because
I know.
Because we end up wasting. So that's a big deal. So you should always look in your cupboard, make a plan, get a menu, make sure you have what you need, and then go from there. And then, Roma, you have a bunch of things you learned about preserving the food that you can eat.
Well, this one, I'll go back to the fermentin.com. It's one of the links on our blog. So you've got your mason jar, and you've got your produce in there. You know, there's always that little bit of food that floats to the top. It kind of gets spoiled on because it's not in the liquid. Well, this gentleman, a young guy, I know he was younger than I am, lives in California, hand makes ceramic weights that you put on top of the food, therefore keeping it below the water line.
Inside the jar.
And then instead of putting your regular seal lid and then your metal ring on top of the mason jar, he's got that top that you place on, and then you put your lid down, and then you pour a little water ring around it. And as the gas builds up, the gas has the pressure will actually up and release and can escape, but no water or air can get back into it because of the water ring. So when the gas will build up enough pressure to lift it up and it off gas. So it keeps your fermented food fresher longer. And it was $18 for one, and I ended up buying one.
Did you buy one?
I did. And when we do our okra, you know, I end up with 30 jars sometimes, just depending on our harvest. And so you would almost need one for each of these, but I wasn't going to carry 30 back.
Well, that catalog Lehman's that has a lot of really cool products for homesteading has a larger one. It's a crock, and it has the weights that you put in for making kraut and things like that.
Okay. There was a 5-gallon fermenting that was made out of ceramic that a couple, husband and wife, their primary business was actually selling their own specially fermented food. In fact, when I went by the book stand, there was two different book stands. They had this art of fermentation, and they had about 7 books. And so I asked them which one on fermenting is the best, and this was one of 3 that they suggested. So, okay. Well, I don't want to carry.
That's a big book.
That's intimidating.
That's a big book. I mean, the fermentation really has caught on. It's kind of like a fad thing.
It's not that it's caught on. It's that it's come back, and people have realized the value. It's full of natural probiotics that are really good for your digestive system, so it really helps to keep you healthy.
Well, this couple, Wild West Fermenting, when I walked by their booth, they said, as seen in this book, and they had their recipe in on the page. So I said, all right, when I go back by the book stand, that's the book I'll get. But they also sold their fermenting jar. It's a 5-gallon ceramic jar that comes out of Germany. And it's exactly what this is for this mason jar technology. Or concept where you put the water ring around the top and let it off gas. I have not seen that one from Lehman's, though.
Mm-hmm. They have several in there. And it's ceramic as well.
Mm-hmm. So fermenting is big. There was just some very practical stuff. Have you ever been out in the garden and you've got your produce and you don't really have something to haul it back with? You know, we have there's a guy that's the gardener's hollow leg. And it's just a very tough burlap sack that attaches right to your belt that you put on your side. So as you're out in the orchard, is really where this one would come in extremely handy. You just got your, you know, makes them right in his garage and sells them. So it really opened up. It was neat to see just how many entrepreneurs were there with their own ideas and inventions. There was three moms called Not Your Mama's .com, and it's Not Your Mama's Granola, and they were giving away samples of their granola. And, I mean, they had I don't know what size of kitchen these guys have, but they had pounds of granola. They had all handmade, and it was phenomenal. So you can order that online as well.
I like the granola you started making, and you're fermenting the nuts on that, aren't you?
Well,
what do you do on that?
That's for a no grain diet. So you just take nuts and you soak them overnight. Then you dry them out, and then you mix them up like granola with no grains.
That's the best granola I've ever eaten.
It's pretty good.
So can you tell me the difference between cannabis and hemp?
No.
Let's call our expert, William.
This is organic heirloom, and I will tell you, there was no shortage of hemp products.
Well, I don't think you use the hemp. Hemp is really good for building, and it's mm-hmm. a pretty incredible product as far as its strength, right?
Well, you talk to them, and it's... They say its tensile strength is 8 times more than steel. And I guess it's the actual stalk of a plant, the stem. They had a book, Hempcrete, and how they substitute hemp for stone inside cement products. They had hemp T-shirts. They had hemp this. They had hemp that. And there was even a whole section at the bookstore. I took a picture to share with Will. Do you want to explain that?
No. Our sustainable farmer.
Yes. So, but apparently hemp, you can't grow it because you've got a chance that there's going to be weed on it and weed's illegal. But they say George Washington had a hemp farm. Thomas Jefferson had a hemp farm. It was a wonder product, but it worked so good that it was competing with
some of the other industries, apparently.
Right, yeah. That had more lobbying money. So anyway, it was very interesting because they start talking and you hear a lot, but man, you walk away and you've forgotten just as much as you learned because they just throw so much at you at one time. But this was really neat. The Wildflower Seed and Tool Company. You wouldn't really use this if you were just trimming a shade tree, but if you've got a orchard, you know, they have those old buckets where you would...
For like picking oranges?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you would pull on the tree mm-hmm. and pull on the tree and pull on the tree, and sometimes you'd break
get more than an orange.
Or the oranges would get beat up or the apples would get beat up knocking around each other. Well, these trimmers have a grip on them, so you can cut the stem right above the apple. And it actually holds the stem while you bring it down, and it's got a telescoping arm up to 10 feet. So you can clip your produce without beating up the tree, and just another great...
You said apples. Would that work for oranges as well?
Oh, anything. Yeah, because it's a clipper, so you would just cut right above whatever fruit you're trying to harvest, and it would hold the stem.
Do you have a link for us?
Wildflower-seed.com. That's on the resource link as well. There's a lot of soaps and cleaning products back to our hemp. Have you heard of Dr. Bonner?
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Bonner's products?
Oh, Dr. Bonner's Castile soap.
Yeah. Did you know all of them are hemp products?
I didn't.
It's obviously something that's not... So it where can't are they, be made in America, right?
That's what I was going to ask you. So where is it being grown?
I don't know. That was...
That's been our camp soap in Arizona camping since the 70s. I found it in about 1970. You can use it for shampoo. You can use it for toothpaste. You can use it for cleaning your dishes, for mm-hmm. washing your body.
It has
Dr.
a nice
Bonner's
scent.
Castile soap. Yeah.
And if you look at it, I never looked at it close enough, but it says right on it, because there's so many words on the labeling. Mm-hmm. No one ever reads it all. But it says right on there, hemp-based product, hemp oil, hemp this, hemp that. But they're out of Vista, California. So they've got to be growing it somewhere out of Canada, maybe? I don't know.
We're talking Romy's trip recently, last week, through California at the Heirloom Seed Festival and the products he found that you might find interesting and to give it a try. But we also, here at Rosie on the House, have what we call the Arizona Staycation. For those of you who would like to see all the four corners of Arizona, you've got to get out and explore our great state. The only place you can register to win that Arizona staycation is at the Sanderson Ford Tile at the Rosie on the House homepage. Get there and register, and you get to pick where in Arizona you want to go. We actually had someone pick here recently, and they said, well, I don't know where I want to go. And so I was able to visit with them, and I said, well, what part of the state haven't you seen? Well, there was a lot of the state they hadn't seen. I said, well, what do you like most? You like natural history? Do you like geology? Do you like Wild West history? And we kind of found out what their interest levels were. And I put an entire itinerary together for them, and they picked up a F-150 over at Sanderson Ford, and we made arrangements for their lodging, and Jennifer gives you a gas card so the whole trip doesn't cost you a dime. You get to pick where you want to go and when you want to go. I always used to say there's no blackout dates, but actually there are creeping in a few blackout dates because some of our lodging partners say, hey, well, we can't, you know, accommodate you quite as easily as we'd like to in this particular season. But if you tell us where you want to go and when you want to go, chances are we can probably get you taken care of. So register to win at rosieonthehouse.com. It's just one more way we strive to become every Arizona homeowner's best friend, by creating an opportunity for fun, with special thanks to our sponsor, Sanderson Ford, on that. Back, we'll wrap up on the Heirloom Seed Festival. 8 o'clock, we've got John J. Harper from Harper's Nursery coming in. 9 o'clock, we've got the good folks, Ann Lyons and Stan Zumbrunnen from Rosie on the House Remodeling. We're going to come in and talk about home offices. Then at 10 o'clock, we've got the good folks from Superlight Old Castle. Old Castle Superlight. Old Castle Superlight. That's at 10 o'clock. We'll be talking everything block.